financial stress and anxiety. For the children living in poverty, financial difficulties can cause feelings of isolation and hopelessness that may lead to dropping out of school. This year, Lakeside Hope House has teamed up with the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition to organize a citywide back-to-school backpack program. Together, we are working to ensure that as many children as possible receive brand new backpacks with those supplies needed for students to be fully prepared and confident. You can help us by sponsoring a backpack, raising supplies at your businesses, raising funds, or purchasing and donating supplies. If you would like to get involved, please contact Ursula via email at backpackproject@lakesidehopehouse.ca. Every little bit helps.
No, it should be gays, lesbians, and bisexuals. And at this point, there's an old trade union lefty sitting behind me. He said it just loud enough for people around him to say, he said, yeah, how about putting something in there for the people who are too tired to have sex when they get home from work?
This is Kim Logue, and you're listening to Hoofbeats, Guelph's Horse Talk Radio. Produced at CFRU, the program is a volunteer-driven, all-age, all-interest, all-access equestrian talk show for closet enthusiasts to full-fledged equine professional. Let's talk horse. So next I'm going to bring you a really quick recording that we took on the way home from a visit at a horse farm.
My name's Sophie, and today I enjoyed being in the sun with some friendly animals up at the horse farm. I got to clean out some hoops, which actually wasn't too bad, and there were some really cute cats to hang out with as well.
My name is Elsa, and when we were up at the horse farm today, I liked grooming the horses and making them all shiny and soft, and I liked the little kitties who were very friendly, and it was really fun.
My name is Mika, and I enjoyed grooming the horses and watching Kim ride them, and also I enjoyed watching the barn cats just walk around freely, and they were having a really fun time.
I'll be ready. the sun in the shower, let it come. Well, I'm not worried about the money or the power. I won't sit in the corner and cower, let it come.
Hoofbeats. That was a track by Ken Whiteley to kick off today's show. And we'll actually hear Ken speak a little bit later in today's Hoofbeats episode, because we have recorded a Riding with the Stars segment with him that will go to air today. And it's a very star-studded show today. I want to welcome Joanne, who's shadowing in the studio today and hopefully getting turned on to the tech side and all of the possibilities of producing shows at Hoofbeats. And I also want to welcome Wendy from Canary Designs, who has been voluntold to co-host today's show. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, Kim.
Thank you so much for being here. When we met at the Wednesday market not too long ago and I bought one of your delightful little caps, you did mention that you had some horse experience.
It didn't take long for that to come up.
Yeah.
And now here I am.
Exactly. So we'll speak to that. And we've posted some fantastic pictures to the blog that you brought for us. So we'll discuss those. And if anyone wants to have a look, you go to hoofbeats-radio.blogspot.ca. But before we get to all of that, I'm excited to say that Wendy and I have loaded up a record. So we're going to use turntable one in the Honor studio today. What have we loaded up there, Wendy?
We are going to hear a song by Hank Snow that was recorded probably around 1940, a horse theme song called There's a Picture on Pinto's Bridle.
All right.
I was riding one bright evening beneath the starlit western sky,
and the silver moon down on the sage did shine.
As I spurred my pony onward, my guitar I softly played to the tune of some coyote's lonely cry. Just then my pony halted, his ears up straight to go.
He trembled
as I stepped down by his side. With a glance I saw a shadow on the prairie there did lay, a little curly-headed blue-eyed boy. Not very far beyond him his little pinto fell, his leg was broke as there in pain he lay.
His frightened eyes were blinking as I drew my .44. Do not kill me, his kind eyes just seemed to say. Don't shoot him, sir, I beg you, he is my only pal. We've rode the range together day by day. My daddy is a drunkard, he turned me from the door. Dear mother's up in heaven far away. She left me one bright morning with the angel she does well. We'll meet upon that other range someday. As she kissed my little forehead, a picture she did draw from a golden locket, as I heard her say, my time has come to leave you, the best of pals must part. Please promise, mother, always to be true. And through long lonely hours when your little heart's forlorn, remember there's an angel watching you. Just then the little fellow bowed down his weary head, and this is all his trembling lips did say. Take care of little Pinto and help him to get well. I'm heading for a roundup far away. You'll find on Pinto's bridle a treasure that is dear. Please put it by my heart when I have gone. 'Tis a picture of dear mother, the best pal that I knew. I'm now leaving just to meet her far beyond. Adieu.
I love that. Volunteers in the studio encouraging me to use the turntables. Wendy, tell us again what that song was.
Oh, that was There's a Picture on Pinto's Bridle.
And I could hear the words. It was so horse-related. I loved that.
Yes.
And it's from the album When My Blue Moon Turns Cold Again.
Turns to gold again.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And it's CanCon, which is really fun. It's not a new release by any stretch. How old do you think this is?
I think that one was probably recorded around 1940 or so in Montreal, where he made all his Canadian recordings.
Cool.
Yeah.
And some of the pictures that we posted on the blog today are related in a way, right? Like, why did we choose all of these photos? Tell us about some of them.
Well, when I learned that your show was all about horses, and I do have my own horse experiences, but I think much more interesting is what I know about Hank Snow and his trick horse that he had for, he owned the horse for a long time, but he performed with it for a few years in the late 40s, so... The first pictures on the blog are from a calendar, 1948, a calendar that he put out with his fan club. And there's one of him on Shawnee doing a show for some orphans. I don't know where it was.
Wow.
But he did a cross-Canada tour with the horse when he got Shawnee. This was part of his plan.
For the record, that horse looks to my eye like a Pinto because it's like the two-colored, splotchy-looking horse.
Yes.
And he's all duded up in fancy cowboy gear, and it looks like doing a little lope past a little crowd.
Yes.
September 1948. How do you come to have this calendar?
Oh, well, I know quite a lot about Hank Snow, so I have some memorabilia. That's one of the nicer things that I have. I have the 48 calendar with those pictures on it.
So awesome.
I scan them. Yeah.
And then the June picture, that Pinto horse is like rearing up.
Yes.
I guess that's a trick.
Yes.
As opposed to a naughty, dangerous horse episode.
Yes, they're posing in front of his van, and that's also on the tour that he did across Canada in 1947 in front of the van that he had built. So he and his wife and little boy lived in the van, as well as Shawnee had a spot in the van as well. They all
and Shawnee is this Pinto horse's name, I guess,
yes.
Right? Shawnee?
Yes.
So cute.
Yes, he's a really cute little horse. He's quite small. Well, and
he
in
actually
the next
does
one,
look small. And mm-hmm. like Hank is looking like a sizable man.
He's
on this
not.
Small horse.
Hank okay. is actually only about 5'7".
Okay.
So the horse is really,
really
small.
Really tiny. Might even mm-hmm. be a pony. Shawnee might be a pony.
Probably
in fact.
Pony size. But yeah. when he bought him, so that was in 1947 when he actually went on this summer long tour. Kind of centered around the horse and having the trick riding in the show. And so he got Shawnee the year before. So in 1946, he got him. Somebody suggested to him that it would be a good idea, good for a show, if he got a trick horse. And Hank was on board with that. And that sort of show was very popular
right,
at the time.
Right. We don't see it much today at all.
No. No,
you, it's
really.
Even hard to find a place where you're allowed to learn or practice that stuff because the liability is so complicated nowadays.
I would think so.
No,
yes.
having fun on horseback—that is against insurance regulations.
No, with the sorts of tricks that are in later pictures. Yeah, that would be tough to get insured for that these days. That's for sure.
All right, so just scrolling through some of the other pictures, I like this one where he's on the ground because you were just talking about his size.
Now, that's not Hank.
Oh.
That is Big Slim.
Okay.
And Big Slim is actually a big guy. He okay. was tall, and his horse was lanky. He
oh,
was the
so
guy.
That's not even the same horse.
No, he was the guy who got Hank onto the trick riding.
And okay,
he was a singing cowboy at a jamboree in Wheeling, West Virginia, where Hank went to get on the radio.
This is such adorable content. And for the listeners that aren't looking at the pictures, this is another, you know, pinto-colored horse. They're black and white photos, so I don't know if one's brown and one's black, but they're like the black and white pinto-looking horses, and the man standing beside him is in perfect size relationship. So I'm mm-hmm. glad you're here to clarify all the facts.
And they're all in wearing, like, Western
exactly.
cowboy gear
yep.
outfits. And yeah, so there's a Hank doing a few tricks on Shawnee. I can't see very well
no,
from
yeah,
here.
No, yeah, we have to look up closer. But
like
they
he
have
would,
captions, which is nice.
He would hang off the side of the saddle while Shawnee was galloping, and he had a trick where he would actually slide off of his rump and hit the ground and then bounce back onto
Vault
the horse's back.
On, yeah.
And then they had a little lasso trick where Hank could do some lasso tricks, and Shawnee had a little lasso that he would spin around as well.
That's sweet. And then is this them side by side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was after
they
stopped.
It's a color photo.
Recording.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that was in Nashville, actually, after Hank actually bought his place in Nashville. But when he bought Shawnee, he was already trained as a trick horse. And
that's a good way to learn to be a trick rider. Like, you don't mm-hmm. both need to be beginners at the thing.
Yes.
It's nice if one of you has a clue of how it should go.
And I think, yeah, that was the horse knew what he was doing. And Hank had to learn. So he had been in some movies before that. He had been in some Sons of the Pioneers movies and maybe been in some sort of another kind of trick riding show when
nice.
Hank got him. So
the next one has the mm-hmm. caption that it's Hank and Shawnee having breakfast by a tree or something like that. But
yes.
that pony is doing a trick
yeah.
because horses don't normally sit for their breakfast like that.
Yeah, he would sit down on his haunches like a dog, and they had a routine where I think he'd actually drink from a cup. They put a cup on the table,
aww.
And he would drink out of it, and Hank would
that's so cute.
Eat something. Yeah.
My experience with horses is if they're lying down and you try to get close to them, generally, depending on how socialized the horse is, but generally they'll get up because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to be vulnerable lying on the ground while, you know, there's activity and stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I see horses in this pose all the time, but I've never been able to share a cup of coffee. I love the next picture because he's on horseback with his guitar.
Yes, yes, that was a PR shot after he got to Nashville, and he bought this place and he called it the Rainbow Ranch and put Shawnee out to pasture there.
Oh, so he had a nice retirement.
Yes. So Hank was on the Grand Ole Opry then, so he didn't, and he was touring in the States, and he became extremely famous at that point, so he stopped doing the trick riding shows, and that was it for Shawnee.
Well, and it sounded like he'd been doing work before, and he had some tours working with Hank, so it's nice that he got to just relax in retirement.
He did. He kept him for another 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
so
until he died.
Long.
Yes,
yeah.
He had him for 15 years. He didn't die till 1961.
Cool. And then there's more pictures, it looks like, of tricks in progress or around the stable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just a few more of the different things he could do.
And there is one,
you might see one, there is one where they would, like you were saying, about when they would lie down, they had a trick where he would put a blanket, I think Shawnee pulled the blanket
here,
on himself, and they would pretend to go to bed together and lie down together.
That's the kind of tricks, you know, like just cute animal tricks.
Yes, they were really cute, and it seemed like, well, Shawnee was obviously really well-trained, and it was just, and quite virtuosic, I think, on the stuff that Hank would do as well, especially, like, he just learned it.
Right.
I'm going to learn how to do these crazy tricks. standing up on the back of a galloping horse.
Right. There are sports in our horse world today where people do like this vaulting on horseback, and they do, you know, all these, it's like gymnastics. They do gymnastics on horseback. It's a very specific discipline. But in my life, I've never really been able to teach a horse tricks, because I want to train horses that are going to respond the way the people around them are going to expect them to respond. Like, I've never wanted to encourage a horse to rear, you know, because then I'm using it in a riding lesson and somebody makes the rear gesture and the horse rears up, or, you know,
yes,
what I mean, like that kind of.
Yes.
I haven't wanted to do that kind of alternative training.
I can see that.
Except that I really want to.
Well, it'd be great.
Because it would be a show. I want to have a horse show. And also, as the horses get older, or as I get older, I don't get the same thrills out of galloping across fields and jumping obstacles. But to still build a bond with my horse and spend time with a horse working on things, like,
yes,
I think learning tricks to drink coffee and lie down and have a snooze would be great.
There's something so, you know, charming about that. And I you know, the horse, I think, would enjoy it.
Right.
But it's just like you say, you don't want them doing that.
Yeah. You've got to have the right environment and the right horse and the right amount of time to spend. So what other photos do we have here?
Well, when I was looking around, just thinking about the Hank and his horse and stuff, I did a little Google search, and I found that picture of him is when he was on the tour across Canada in Perth, and it was on a Perth Museum site. So there's a poster for the show, and he was doing a PR appearance at a local record store.
Oh, fun.
At that one with the other people in it. So he had his son, Jimmy, and then it was the couple who owned the store.
Oh, great.
And their little girl. And they were all dressed in, well, the little girl is dressed all in Western wear. Because, again, it was just,
right,
that was, like, the coolest thing going. Everyone just wanted to dress like a cowboy.
The fashion of the day.
And they were listening to cowboy songs.
And then what else?
And then,
here?
So that was a trick. That was another picture I got on the off the internet. A trick that they used to do where Shawnee would pretend to whisper in Hank's ear. And, well, Hank would say, "Oh, no, not now. Can't you wait till the end of the show?"
So the same joke every time.
Yeah.
It looks so cute.
Yes. Yeah, really cute.
That's awesome.
So he did quite well with the tour. made some money. Hank was famous already as a singer in Canada at the time, so he could sell out arenas, but he really wanted to crank it up a notch and have all of this trick riding. And he writes about it in his book, about everything. He had to get his bandstand built and how he financed the whole thing, which was very much on his own credit, and had the truck built and convinced his record company to give him a few $1,000s. And Big Slim, the guy from Wheeling, he was part of the show, but then he came up with his wife, who also had a horse, and then they ended up bailing a few weeks in and going back.
A big story there.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. Was that? But Hank writes that Big Slim had a girlfriend somewhere,
okay.
So they split up. So they left the show. But it continued, and they still sold out. So so it was certainly successful. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing all this research and bringing in all these stories and facts. It's adorable. So we talked a lot about Hank's fashion and the fashion of the day. So I'm going to put you on the spot and get you to tell us a little bit about your clothing company and how, what the kind of work that you do.
Well, it's not really related to what Hank wears or did wear, although I did used to make suits, embroidered suits that were similar to what the country stars wore back then. But then I had to stop making those things. So I now make organic cotton, things from organic cotton. I do undergarments. I do other few things like hoodies and stuff and hats.
Yeah.
I do all natural hats.
I see you're wearing like a t-shirt, a tank top under your hoodie.
Yes. That is actually organic cotton and hemp, and I make things out of hemp as well. I'm going to be doing more of that, more things out of hemp. So all natural fibers and totally free of synthetics.
And where do folks find you?
Well, they have been finding me at the market downtown in Guelph on Wednesdays, but that's ending this week, actually. So I have a website. It's at canaryclothes.com. So they can find me there.
Excellent. And, can they shop online?
Yes,
okay,
they
awesome.
Can. Or they can get in touch with me. If they're in Guelph, they can always get in touch with me, and I have a workshop, and they can come over and try stuff on and see what I have.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going pretty well.
Good. So before we go to another Hank Snow song, I thought I better get you to tell me just a tiny bit. Like, I'm not expecting a lot because you've been clear, but you have met a real horse in real life at some point.
Yes, I did have a horse when I was young. I had a horse. I was horse crazy.
You've got it.
Many,
you got the bug.
Yes, as many young girls are horse crazy, I was as well. And I took riding lessons and ended up having a horse of my own for a few years, which was amazing experience.
Were you riding English or Western?
I rode both.
Okay.
I did both. And I had a little quarter horse. And we boarded him in a barn up the road. And I would take him to the local exhibition sometimes and just rode out on trails out in the woods.
I love that.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was,
From
he was
what
a cute
age
little guy.
To what age did you own a horse?
Probably about 12 to 14. I'd say that's about peak horse madness for young girls.
Yeah. Well, I always got support from my parents when I was getting into the teenage years because they would have much rather seen me hanging around at the barn and doing all the work associated with being a horse person than what a lot of the other teenagers in my neighborhood were up to.
Yes. Well, that had a little more allure for me than the horse.
Right.
But, well, my family weren't into horses at all. It was just me. So so that kind of support wasn't really there. So it was really great for a while. And I just loved it. But,
what was the horse's
after that,
name?
His name was Attaboy.
Do you remember how old he was when you got him?
He was... he was probably 5 or 6, and he wasn't too big. He was just barely horse size, and
right.
he was a raspberry roan.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, he was so cute, and he was a quarter horse.
So we'll describe raspberry roan for listeners that don't know.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the chestnut horses.
He was kind of reddish.
Red, mm-hmm. but mixed with gray hairs.
It was almost like burgundy
yeah.
in a way, with the gray mixed in.
I think that's unusual mm-hmm. for a quarter horse, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a kind of unusual. And a bit darker, I guess, than a strawberry roan, which is
right.
More. There is
a
difference.
A raspberry roan.
Yeah, yeah. I think there is a distinction.
Yeah, there
between
is
the
actually,
two
and I've
berries.
Never thought about it. It's funny that you have a blue roan, not a blueberry roan. All right. So, a little bit of horse experience. Did you take riding lessons?
Yes, I was. We went to riding camp when I was pretty young, so we'd go for a week. And this was in Nova Scotia that I did all of this. So it was quite nice. There was this camp that we went to that was right by the ocean, and they had their ring was overlooking this giant expanse of the ocean. We'd ride around there on the riding camp.
That sounds awesome.
Horses.
Yeah, to ride out. Or, have you ever been swimming with your horse?
Oh.
Or on horseback or whatever?
No. There was a creek we used to walk through, but no, never actually. Have you ever been swimming with a horse?
Most of my experience was walking along the creek until we got to the deepest part,
mm-hmm.
where if the rainfall was appropriate and, you know, it was the right year for that, we could get like a few swim strides out of it. but I've always wanted
uh-huh.
to go swimming. Like, I just think it would be great.
That never occurred to me. I could have taken him to the beach.
So you just woke up one day and you were like, I'm done with horses now.
Yeah.
Is that how it sort of wrapped up?
Yeah, kind of. You just
outgrew it.
I outgrew it, I guess. Yeah, just sort of outgrew it. And I'm pretty sure I haven't been on a horse since I was like,
on
14.
Attaboy.
On Attaboy. Attaboy Tricks was his whole name.
Oh, really? No yes. tricks, though. No trick riding. More traditional.
No, we didn't do any tricks. No, there were no tricks.
Do you miss it at all?
Oh, yes. Whenever I see a horse, you know, I think once you're, if you're into horses, you never lose that.
Right.
You know, desire to be with them. And I did, I was telling you as well, I did make a suit for a woman in Cambridge who shows her quarter horse a lot at a pretty high level. So there was the brush with that.
Right, right.
End of horses. And I was supposed to go for a ride on Leo after I finished the suit,
is that
but that
April's
never happened.
Horse? Oh,
yes.
Well, follow up. Make
and
it happen.
That'll happen. That'll
I
happen.
Love it. I will just say to you, Wendy, or to anyone out there listening who does have that love of horses and maybe craves that horse time, that being a reporter for Hoofbeats Radio is an awesome way to get some horse time. Come on, you can get a portable recorder, take it riding with you, bring it back. We'd love to hear all about it.
So first you recruit me to come on here and co-host, and now
you have to go on adventure rides and report back.
We'll see.
All right, well, we're going to play the other Hank Snow song that we sort of planned to feature this show.
Yes.
What is that one again?
I brought in one of his greatest hits, one of his many greatest hits records. So this is his biggest hit that he had when he first got to Nashville called I'm Moving On.
Awesome. Oh. Uh-oh. It's turntable.
There's a place I'll always cherish neath the blue Atlantic skies, where the shore's down in Cape Breton bids the golden sun to rise, and the fragrance of the apple blossom sprays the dew-kissed lawn, back in dear old Nova Scotia, a place where I was born.
the Scotian and the Ocean Limited and the Maritime Express. Their mighty engines throbbing make their way towards the west, and the sturdy fishing schooner sways so lazily to and fro. Nova Scotia is my sanctuary and I love it so. Great Dominion, I have traveled far and wide, where the shores out in Vancouver kiss the blue Pacific tide. I have crossed the snow-capped Rockies, saw the wheat fields golden blaze, headed back to Nova Scotia where contented cattle graze. Where the purdy robin redbreast seeks its loved ones in the tree, and the French dialect in old Quebec keeps calling out to me. It seems to say, be on your way, there's a welcome at the door, where the kinfolks are waiting on that gay Atlantic shore. Beautiful New Brunswick and across to PEI, to the rock-bound coast of Newfoundland, I love them till I die. But if God came here on earth with us and asked if he could rest, I'd take him to my Nova Scotia home, the place that I love best.
Ever this since she was a baby, she's been hoping, thinking, maybe, that her parents would of course break down and buy for her a horse. All she thinks about are ponies. Not the stuffed ones, they're just phonies. But a real one is her dream. She likes horses more than ice cream. It could be chestnut, black, or bay. She'll take a gray one any day. She'd ride from Bangor, Maine to Reno if she had a Palomino. She reads horse magazines and books. She gives horse posters second looks. And she always thinks it's groovy when she sees one in a movie. One time she saddled up her dog, then she taught him to jump a log. But she still thinks it would be fine if she could have a real equine. She sees herself in a horse show or maybe in a rodeo. She just knows she'd win first place if she could ride one in a race. She studied their anatomy, hock and cannon, fetlock, knee, memorizing till she named all the parts from tail to mane. She even knew just what they ate, what they like, and what they hate, just in case her parents bought her one to hay and grain and water. She would not be in a hurry if she had to brush and curry. She just hopes he never moves when she has to clean his hooves. She'll ride a quarter horse show reiner or do dressage in a trikaner, Morgan, Clydesdale, Thoroughbred, all the breeds prance in her head. Sometimes in her dreams she trots an Appaloosa with his spots, and she imagines out her window that she sees a baby pinto. All the stories that she writes have noble steeds with jousting knights, and she draws on all the pages famous horses through the ages. She could keep it in her room, but she would need a bigger broom. She'd use a pitchfork and wheelbarrow, but her bedroom door's too narrow. Her parents knew she wasn't quitting when they saw what she was knitting. Not a scarf or mitts or hat, but a horse blanket for her cat. So they finally, without warning, on a frosty Christmas morning, said, "We're moving to a farm, and you can have a horse and barn." Not long after, it came true. And I believe, and so will you, that girl's happy now, of course, because she really loves her horse.
Alex Bangman has been riding horses since she was a girl. Under the tutelage of Mary Courtney, she competed on the Trillium Hunter Circuit for many years as a junior, qualifying for the championships several years on her pony mare and soulmate Gypsy. After retiring from the Hunter Ring, Alex delved into the land of other riding, attending hunter paces, hound walking with the local hunt club, dabbling in basic dressage, western showmanship and pleasure, cross country, and even jumper. But perhaps her greatest achievement was in learning to enjoy her horse outside of the ring, along the back roads and around fields and woods. As Alex's health deteriorated with lung disease, her pony Gypsy became an important physiotherapy device, providing physical and emotional therapy at a time when things looked bleakest for Alex. With the use of an onboard oxygen tank, Gypsy the therapy pony carried Alex through the woods until the day preceding Alex's successful double lung transplant. Now, Alex rides every day, and is back to life around the barn with a renewed appreciation for life, love, and horses. Having studied with Debbie Goldring, Alex is also an equine portrait artist in the pastel medium. Yes, barn rat by day, glamorous singer by night, Alex Bangman.
This time in the hayfield, western dressage. I still remember when I was really small going to Martha Blackburn's farm and we watched a dressage show. It was the first dressage show I had ever seen. So you can imagine for a young girl, it was quite dull. Until, of course, the leather and lace. Yes, there was this woman perched atop a beautiful warm blood horse, and beside her, a man on a stock horse in a western saddle. And they did a cross between a freestyle rein and a dressage cur to the tune of, I want to be a cowboy and you can be my cowgirl. I still remember it. It was so exciting watching the two of them dance. And I remembered thinking then that the two weren't so very different. Now, of course, there's a different frame in dressage than there is in Western reining, certainly, but each are judged on movements and, you know, they're not so far divorced. However, now there's something really cool that's what can only be described as a sport in the making, and it really is. It's burgeoning now. It's Western dressage. It's a really new, exciting sport, and it's happening in North America. The USEF has already recognized it, and I'm sure Canada won't be far to follow. The official branch is in Ontario, though there seems to be a lot of action out west in BC. Basically, what it is dressage, in a dressage frame, more or less, in a Western saddle. So interesting that you can transpose these things to a Western saddle. I have heard barrel racers tell me that, you know, even just the smallest shift in their body weight and the horse feels it. So perhaps that what we perceive as English riders to be large Western saddle doesn't really get in the way of fine communication with the horse. So Western dressage is just as it sounds. It's riding in Western tack and doing movements at the letters. You can download videos on YouTube of horses doing, you know, tempi changes and leg yields across the diagonal, and it's the same thing. You can use any breed, any age of horse. They've got from basic up to advanced levels, and it's really something cool that's taking off. It was at the Outdoor Expo in Milton, Ontario in June, and again at the Uxbridge Horsemen's Expo in Ontario that same month. I'm sure you'll be hearing more and more about dressage with Western style. If you are interested, visit westernstyledressage.ca. They've got an activities page there and are soliciting entrants to their horse shows and to their clinics. So keep your eye on that. If you are a Western rider, but you've always wanted to do a pirouette, you can. Indeed, you can. Okay, that's all I have to say from the hayfield. I want to be a cowboy. From the hayfield, I'm Alex Pangman.
This September 24th, you're invited to take the Hoofbeat Challenge. Hike, walk your dog, or ride a horse on the Sunrise Trivia Trail, located at the Sunrise Therapeutic Riding and Learning Center at 6920 Concession 1 in Puslinch Township near Guelph. There's a $50 entry fee, though this will be waived for attendees who bring $50 or more in pledges. You can enjoy the beautiful trails, have lunch from the Country Kitchen food truck, complete a fun quiz to win prizes, and register by September 1st to be eligible to win a $100 restaurant gift card. Sunrise provides a nationally accredited program for adults and children with special needs. The location is wheelchair accessible, and the trail may be accessed with all-terrain mobility devices. As a parent of two Sunrise campers, we'd really appreciate your support.
Hi, I'm Nicholas, and I ride at Sunrise. Please come to Hoofbeat Challenge and support riders like me.
For more information, go to www.sunrise-therapeutic.ca or call 519-837-0558.
Wheeler rolling down the track means a two-loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on, I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as it blew and blew said hello to the Southland, we're coming to you, and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had the laugh on me, so I've set you free, and I'm moving on. Mr. Fineman, won't you please listen to me, 'cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. So shovel the coal, let this rattler roll, and keep moving me on. Mr. Engineer, take that throttle in hand, this rattler's the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind and put me there on time and keep rolling on. I've told you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen, no pay me no mind. Now I'm moving on, I'm rolling on. You've broken your vow and it's all over now, so I'm moving on. You switched your engine, now I ain't got time for a trifling woman on my main line, 'cause I'm moving on. You done your daddy wrong. I warned you twice, now you can settle the price, 'cause I'm moving on. But someday, baby, when you've had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on, you stayed away too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, keep moving on.
I feel tears welling up, calling deep inside, like my heart's strung a beat break. And the stab of loneliness sharp and painful that I may never shake. Now you might say that I was taking it hard, that you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide the sorrow when I'm a red right down and ball. Now the race is on and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love stretched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartache. And the winner loses all. One day
I ventured in love, never once suspecting what the final result would be. How I lived in fear of waking up each morning and finding that you'd gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart, for the day was the one that I headed to face. Somebody new came up to win her, and I came out in second place. Now the race is on, and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another's sake. The race is on, and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Regularly on Hoofbeats, we bring you a Riding with the Stars segment where musicians and other celebrities tell us their experience with horses. From touristy trail rides to pony rides in their childhood, even recent trips to the racetrack. We love these horse stories.
You know, would look at that book and all the sort of the history of horses and all these different kinds of horses. I used to live in Kansas. I was born in the States, and from when I was about 1.5 until I just turned 5, I lived in Manhattan, Kansas. And at that point, we were in a little university town, and we were right at the edge of the town. And so just at the end of our street was a horse farm. And, you know, out there sort of in the grasslands of the Midwest, and, you know, so horses were around, and I've had the privilege of being on top of a horse that let me sit there while the horse walked around for a while.
Sweet.
And, you know, the horse is such a beautiful image in so many, you know, just there's just such majestic animals to see them moving, and the rhythm of them. There's a lot that associates horse, rhythm, music.
I always say musicians make great horse people because it's rhythm.
It's rhythm,
it's
that's
rhythm,
right.
And communication.
Exactly. So you clear with the horse, you know, basically the horse knows what to do in terms of, you know,
if you're lucky.
Yeah, assuming.
Case,
yeah. I mean, I've been on horses sometimes where they, for whatever reasons, character, time and circumstances, the same as people or whatever, they sort of, I'm not into this today, you know,
right,
you know,
right.
But anyway, it's, it, you know, you respect them as a sentient being, as another, you know, an animal with intelligence and personality for sure.
To partner with.
Yeah. Hi, this is Ken Whiteley, and you're listening to Hoofbeats Radio, CFRU.ca 93.3.
Got friends all over the place. It means so much when I remember a face. The feeling of those memories is a warmth I can't replace. I've got friends all over the place. I can see Bruce when he used to have long hair. Now his forehead just shines with the hair that isn't there. But the same smile lights up every time he hits the snare. May that same joy radiate when we're in our rocking chair. I've got friends all over the place. It means so much when I remember a face. Feeling of those memories is a warmth I can't replace. I've got friends all over the place. There are folks all across this land. Couldn't count the homes they've shared or all the helping hands. Some don't play a single note, others play a concert grand. Some know me as a gospel guy, and others think Jug Band. I've got friends all over the place. It It means so much when I remember a face. The feeling of those memories is a warmth I can't replace. I've got friends all over the place. One time in my dreams, I know I heard an invitation to a place. It might be slightly blurred. Ocean breezes crossed the ridge, avocado trees were stirred. Though my body's never been there, friendship was conferred. I've got friends all over the place. It means so much when I remember a face. Of those memories is a warmth I can't replace. I've got friends all over the place. As I look out now, I see so many faces smile. I recognize a few as I look up and down the aisle. So to you who are a stranger, hope it's only for a while, and our paths will cross again as we both travel these miles. We got friends all over the place. Means so much when we remember a face. The feeling of these memories is a warmth we can't replace. We've got friends all over the place.
So that song was Friends All Over the Place from Ken Whiteley's album, Ken Whiteley and the Balua Band, which is produced by Ken Whiteley and his son Ben, who he did mention at the beginning of our Riding with the Stars segment. Unfortunately, my portable recorder wasn't working backstage at Summer Folk Festival a weekend or two ago. So what you just heard was sort of the backup voice memo I made on my phone that day. And I have committed to follow up with Ken and hopefully his son Ben Whiteley by phone for more in-depth interviews. But I thought that was a really wonderful little chat that Ken shared with us about some of his experience with horses. And we're going to play you another song from that same album now. Enjoy.
Tension of the moment seems to vanish into tears. Rain's dried off the roadway, evaporates my fears. In the act of letting go, there's something else appears. It's the moment we've been waiting for. It's the moment we've been waiting for. The time we've been waiting for. Waiting till the stillness dissolves to something more. The moment we've been waiting for. The seeds have just been planted so lightly in the earth. Now all they need is sun and rain for them to know rebirth. Like seeds we need the patience to nurture our own worth. It's the moment we've been waiting for. It's the moment we've been waiting for. The time we've been waiting for. Waiting till the stillness dissolves to something more. The moment we've been waiting for. But what about the weeds we've seen proliferating here? Pull them all out one by one, soon they reappear. But if we keep on pulling, one day this field will clear. It's the moment we've been waiting for. It's the moment we've been waiting for. The time we've been waiting for. Waiting till the stillness dissolves to something more. The moment we've been waiting for. Now the sky is quiet, alight with distant stars. It may be hard to see them, but we know somewhere they are. We feel this constant turning, both within us and afar. It's the moment we've been waiting for. It's the moment we've been waiting for. The time we've been waiting for. Waiting till the stillness dissolves to something more. The moment we've been waiting for.
Every Tuesday at 1, tune in to Dando la Nota, an overview of Latin American news.
El Comercio de Perú, El Nacional de Venezuela, El Tiempo de Colombia, El Clarín de Argentina, El Comercio de Ecuador, El Universal de México, El Mercurio de Chile.
Mixed with the newest hit songs. Tuesdays at 1
on CFRU 93.3 FM.